The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So the first day of our training period, as we set out together, set out alone together. I was touched by Corwin's remarks of chanting for not just for ourselves, but for all being, and walking not just for ourselves, but for all beings, sitting and living. We might say the true purpose of human life is to give our life away. Each one of us appearing at some particular time to particular mother and father in particular situation. We are born, we come into awareness through the kindness and protection of others, our parents or other people who protected us enough to survive. Of course, we might feel a little critical of how they did and wish they had done it differently. Those of us that are parents can look back and see how, as parents, we maybe wish we had done it differently. But this is the human way, this way of imperfection. And our path together, this path of Zen, is a way into the heart of it all, to the heartland, we might say. And in our sesshin here together, we join in with the women and men, named and unnamed, who came before us. People like you and me who have had difficult lives, who have had some aspiration or some intention. This intention is to wake up. And so we read different writings left to us. And for this retreat, Melissa and I decided that we will focus on the one of the seminal, one of the most important texts in the Soto Zen tradition. Of course, now Soto and Rinzai, the two main streams of the Zen tradition, both tracing their roots back to China, the 9th century. And today, this we read the harmony of relative and absolute, the Sandokai, by Shito Shui Chan. Shito lived in the 8th century and is greatly revered. One of his Dharma grandson was Dongshan, one of the founders of the Soto school. Later on, Dogen came from Japan and encountered this Soto school and brought it back to Japan. So we come through this lineage. And this harmony of relative and absolute is chanted daily at many Soto practice centers throughout the world. We here in Boundless Way trace our lineage back through the Soto school, through James Ford and John Tarrant and Jiu Kennett, and also through the Rinzai school, through George Bowman and Sung San and the Korean Rinzai school. So this harmony of relative and absolute is a short piece. And when I first encountered it, it was not one of my favorites. Some jump out at us and seem quite clear. But for me, for the first many years, this was one of the more impenetrable texts. But over the years, these many decades now, I've grown quite fond of it, and phrases from it, parts of it, come to me, to inspire me from time to time. The title itself, The Harmony of Relative and Absolute, Sando Kai. The character's son has many interpretations. One is three, but san also means many, and do means one or the absolute, and kai is a coming together or harmony. So we might call this the harmony of the many and the one, or the sameness of the many and the one. And this title, actually Shito borrowed from a Taoist text from the 3rd century. And interesting, here in 8th century China, this weaving that was going on, Buddhism had been in China for hundreds of years, since maybe the 3rd or the 4th century. So hundreds of years there was Buddhism and study and practice of Buddhism, mostly based on the sutras. And in the 7th and 8th century, there grew this new movement arising in many places, placing the emphasis on experience itself, on direct experience. Claiming that all of the sutras are manifest in this moment. So I've been thinking about just these first few lines. The mind of the great sage of India is intimately conveyed from west to east. Among human beings are wise ones and fools, but in the way, there is no northern or southern ancestor. So the mind of the great sage of India, of course, the great sage of India is Buddha. So we might say the Buddha mind. And the character for mind means both heart and mind. So we might say the essence energy of the Buddha, but this Buddha mind we talk about, and we are told here it is intimately conveyed. But what is this mind? Usually, when we think of mind, we think of our discursive mind, the one that thinks the thoughts, and the one that planned to be here, that checks your calendar in the morning, and the one who may be checking your practice as you sit, wondering how it's going. This mind is constantly ill at ease, constantly checking to reify the self. How was I? And we tell stories about the past, how we were and what happened, and how am I stories about the present moment and wonder how will I be this little mind. But this is not the mind that Shito is singing of here. The mind of the great sage, the great human being, but human being like you and me. He's speaking of this big mind, we might say. Dogen, in his instructions to the cook, said the cook must constantly practice three minds, a big mind, Daishin, and a parental mind, and also a parental mind is Roshin and joyful mind. So big mind or magnanimous mind, Daishin, parental mind, and joyful mind. Big mind, the mind that we're speaking of here, is not something that is personal. In the other reading we did this morning, Dawei writing a letter to a student who clearly is feeling frustrated and stuck by his sense that he is dim and dull. Dawei says, does the one who know you are dim and dull, is he dim and dull? So as we sit in our Zazen posture, we slow down, we come into a relative stillness. And from this place of stillness, of stopping, of slowing down, things appear. Here at the Hermitage now, a dog barking down the street. Sounds of airplanes in the sky. Thoughts arise, feelings arise. And we say, I hear the dog. And we go back to this again and again, this sense of the self. This sense that is so apparent that I am me and you are you. I am me and the world is the world. And I perceive the world. I hear the dog. I feel the breeze on my cheek. I hear the sound of the creaking door. And we are invited in our practice to look deeper. Look at this place from which it all arises. We say we are swimming upstream to the source world. Who is the one who hears the dog barking? And if you say, I am the one, I will ask you to show me who is this? Who is the one who is hearing? Who is the one who is breathing? Sound and hearing happen together. There is a field of awareness. As we are sitting, we can and do notice the appearing of, we might say, the appearing of the whole world shows up. Not only do we do our practice for everyone else, in some ways we do our practice with everyone else. So you may be sitting alone in your home or your apartment, but you are not alone. The Buddhas and Bodhisattvas beyond number are sitting with you, and your parents and their parents and everyone you have ever met and will ever met is also here in this moment. So this big mind, this field of awareness, this capacity we have as human beings to sink into, settle back into the beingness of life itself. Usually we're moving out, we're headed somewhere to get something that we think we are lacking. To find more wisdom or more equanimity, to find some great insight. But this mind that Shito is singing of, the mind that is intimately conveyed, that is effortlessly, directly conveyed, is this very mind of the moment, this mind that receives, that participates in this creation of life. So big mind, Daishin, parental mind, Dogen spoke about, Roshin, it is, of course, the mind of great love. The love of a parent for a child who would gladly give her life for her child. We are all, of course, parents. Whether you have had children or not, we are all parents, and we are all taking care. Taking care of this life that we have been given. Some of us, of course, find it hard to take care of ourselves. For me, when I see a newborn baby, a little toddler, I can't help but my heart opens up with joy and appreciation. But when I look in the mirror, it's a little more difficult. But we are encouraged to practice this parental mind, to care for the people that come before us, to care for the things of our life, the so-called inanimate objects. And to care for ourselves, not in some maudlin, limited kind of way, but to practice a kind of open-heartedness. As we sit, of course our mind wanders, of course we get lost in the old ruts of thinking. We get lost in the old stories. But miraculously and wondrously and naturally, at some point we wake up. At some point we realize we've been daydreaming. At some point we realize we have been lost. And so how to practice a parental mind when we are lost, and to choose what we choose, to choose life, to choose to be here, to taste our life, both bitter and sweet. Last night, Melissa spoke so movingly of each one of us choosing to be here. You have chosen to be here. So to take responsibility and to remember what we love. This is parental mind. And joyful mind. I love that Dogen included this. It's so easy to get grim about it all. It is challenging. Legs do hurt, shoulders do get sore. We come up against the very thing we had hoped to avoid. But this joyful mind is the spirit of practice. It is indeed a great fortune to be born a human being, a great fortune to encounter the Dharma, to encounter in your own heart this way-seeking mind, this way-seeking heart-mind. The possibilities for human beings through the ages are not relative, as Shito says. He says, among human beings are wise ones and fools, but in the way, there is no northern or southern ancestors. Each one of us has different qualities, and we can compare ourselves to others, taller, shorter, calmer, more intense, less intense, whatever, however we do that. But it makes no difference who you are. It is not helpful to be smarter, not helpful to be less smart. No northern or southern ancestors. This is not about what school of Zen. This is not about being part of a Boundless Way Zen or the temple. Or even Zen. Our ancestors, those who have passed this down to us, come in all shapes and sizes. No need to dispute which way is right, because every way is the Buddha way. And your way is the Buddha way. Mind of the Buddha is the mind of all beings. Big mind, parental mind, joyful mind. This is the sky mind, we might say. Vast and limitless. There are no edges to awareness. There is only this moment appearing with no limitation. The specificness of this moment and the oneness of all things in this moment, this mind is what Shito is writing about here and what we will be exploring over these next days in these Dharma talks. So Shito says, the mind of the great sage of India is intimately conveyed from west to east. Among human beings are wise ones and fools, but in the way there is no northern or southern ancestor. Thank you. So please sit comfortably. And we'll have our Dharma dialogue. Melissa and I will welcome your comments, questions, insights, perplexities.
And please raise your Zoom hand if you'd like to offer something for us.
Yeah, Paul.
Thank you for the talk, David.
David. A couple things were coming up for me was, how many minds are there? I love that. And of course, later in this chant in Sandokai, there is that line as far as not one, not two. It helps me. I appreciate your guidance as far as into these different minds. And the parental mind was coming up for me. And I think partly because maybe it was novel. And also, I've had, I'm not a father of, as far as of human children, but I've, my girls, my dogs have been running in and out, during this talk. And that parental mind is interesting because it's like, don't do that. Oh, please be who you are. And I see all of these various qualities that come up. I love all these minds and just as ways into our lives. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The human tendency to put things into categories can work against us or for us. And so all of these traditional Buddhist teachings and Zen teachings where we put things into different buckets, you might say, is helpful to balance ourselves because we often lose touch with one part or another of the fullness of life. We tend to focus on one thing over another. These three minds reflect too the three bodies of Buddha that when we have awakening experiences, they often come in these different forms. The Daishin, the great mind, is the Dharmakaya, the thusness. This is where there's no Buddhism, no Zen, no boundless way, no you, no me. There's just this big thing manifesting and coming and going. And then there's I think in the parental mind, which maps onto Nirmanakaya, which is the activity body, when you are active in the world as a bodhisattva, as a person who's devoted to the way, you start to develop. I loved David's part about, he can look at a child or a toddler or your doggies, your girls, and oh, they're so adorable and cute. And then you look in the mirror and you see, the saggy jowls and the gray hair and the lines. I can't grow a beard to disguise it. So, this welling up of sweetness, a kind of compassion, a connectivity through activity. This is what we're doing. So this is. Everything is one, but oh, puppy, it just keeps going back like that. And then the third mind, the joy mind, that's the Sambhogakaya. If it was just oneness and compassion and love without that infusion of the sky, my partner making breakfast, these clothes in the closet waiting for me, the little thrill of our own happiness, then it becomes very dry without that. That moistens, that's the sweet nectar of our practice. So we tend to fall into one of these buckets, one of these categories, and then overemphasize it. So hearing the other two is important. Oh, you know what? I'm not feeling any joy. That's interesting. I think when I go to Doksan, I should talk about that. Or I don't get this oneness thing. Or I love the oneness thing. What's this thing about the particular? And Shito is directly addressing that as this goes on, which is one reason we're going to keep exploring it, because the mind just freezes into its categories. Everything becomes black and white. But if you, not one, not two, if you really are three,
or 84 or whatever, then there's some possibility of living in the world with great freedom. So thank you for inspiring me to say that.
Thanks. Jordan.
Thank you for the talk, and thank you for that great response, and thank you, Paul, for asking that, because it really, I love when like a Dharma talk really just like hits me like a bunch of bricks, because this one really did. For me, the big task is when I see that I'm interconnected with all beings, I like see suffering and I'm like, oh, I gotta help. I gotta get over there and I gotta help. And I do that all the time, and that leaves me out, and I constantly become burned out, and I am pushing myself too hard. And I think like, oh, but that doesn't matter because they need help. Mm-hmm. And the Sesshin has given me this space to be like, oh, well, I guess it's just me in here and I can't go out and do anything. So what is it like to just be me alone? And it's like a vacation. Like I've never like had this kind of thing. And it almost feels like I have overemphasized helping others, which I was always under the impression, oh, I should just do that all the time. But it you point out like there's a more free way to also care about me.
Well, so this identity of harmony of relative and absolute, we might say identity of self and other, that as Melissa was saying, any part we leave out becomes a problem. So to realize that you are one of the suffering beings of the world, in your particular way, as each one of us is, and that it's okay to take care of ourselves. And in one way, this is such a treat to close the doors, put up barriers so we can do this work. And as we've been saying, everyone is sitting with you. Though the hut is small, though the room is small, it includes the entire world. And so how to, we can fall into oneness. Later on, he says to encounter the absolute is not yet it. But it's not just the particulars, the separateness either. So here we're exploring this great mystery with both open-heartedness, courage, and compassion.
And I always say this, it's a sort of pithy little thing that helps me. If I was instructed to only breathe out, I would die pretty fast. That the natural ebb and flow of being a human being, you breathe in, you nourish your body with the breath, and then you breathe out, and you keep doing that. And so this you get to be helpful in the world if you remember to not leave yourself out. And this is a koan for you, for many, many of us. We tend to leave stuff out, and we're one of the ones we leave out. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. Carolyn.
Thank you for all of you so far. It's all very stimulating. It made me think a lot about what had been going on in my mind during our last break, our SAMU period, and all the different kinds of caring and judging of the caring that I was doing. First, I had a call from a client that I really didn't want to take. I felt this is sort of an intrusion into my life, but it was clear that they needed something. And so I did take care of them in a way, but it was interesting. It kept going through my mind, this isn't the way I'm supposed to be caretaking, right? It's supposed to be about being there for the whole world, not for this particular person who happens to be in front of me needing something. Right? It was a little bit easier my next caretaking, which was taking care of my cat who just had eye surgery and clearly needed things. And I've been aware that I have to keep an eye on her all weekend. So that was less conflictual somehow because it was an animal and not a person. Uh-huh. I think I had this image that I was going to be outside gardening, pulling weeds, and that's a very Zen activity. And people in the neighborhood come by and admire the garden, so I can feel like I'm doing it for other people. But it was so funny to, you know, as you were talking, all these layers were coming back to me about, oh, I'm not supposed to have taken care of that person who, you know, needs me to take care of them. So it's, you know, you're judging all the time. And am I in the right role? Am I taking the right role? Yeah. So it's very interesting and helpful. Thank you.
Well, I think wonderful to see, in a sense, to catch the mind, because it's doing that. You know, one point says, do not judge by any standards. And part of moving toward that is realizing how constantly the mind is checking, you know, checking mind. Is this the right kind of samu? and as you're saying that, I really see you naming and appreciating a kind of flexibility of realizing that the world happens in all kinds of forms, and that for me, it's that intention to be of service. And now it's with the cat after surgery. Now it's with this person. Now it is the weeds. But to cultivate this kind of flexibility, and then we give what we have where we are with what we've got, and let that be enough. Yeah, thank you, Carolyn. Pierce.
Thank you, David. You know, sometimes I think that the only thing about this reading that I understand is the title, and then only as a proposition, relative and absolute are in harmony. They fit each other like a box and its lid. You know, it's a very homely metaphor, but surely it can't be as simple as that. And, you know, I in the first part of this retreat, I'm kind of wandering in this limitless world. You know, there's no, by which I mean the limitless world of this moment and my practice in this moment, where there doesn't seem to be any place to rest. There's no inside, outside, or in between. But I was struck by your saying, that everybody you've ever known is sitting with you. And that seems like a clue. And that does seems like more than a proposition, actually. That my practice gives me an intuition of the truth of that, and that this is the nature of Zazen, that this is what we are doing, trying to know this harmony of everything and this moment as we sit, as we walk. So I'm grateful for this moment and for your saying that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that forward, that very strong feeling, experience that you know intimately. This is really that first line about the, this is brought intimately. It's transmitted intimately. This is Shito's main teaching was to meet what is before you as the Dharma. That was his, what he's known for. And as we sit in Zazen, this unusual activity of meeting everything that arises, something starts to shift inside of us. And it's not that we have a new idea about things, but there's something that's almost beyond ideas. So everyone we've ever known is here, is not a theory. it's an actual felt sense of connection. And time and space falling away is not some, you know, wonderful philosophy. It really is true. Everything is here. Everything is here in this moment. So we're not interested in people figuring this out. And I think one of the reasons that this particular text has become so important to the Soto school is that it just keeps banging us over the head with the complexity of the idea of this until the simplicity of the experience arises through it. So thank you for your demonstration.
Well, so let's stop there for today. So coming back into Zazen posture for a breath or two.